Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Happy Monday to you. Hope you're having a great week so far. You know, we're Monday. We started off the new week. What is this? The third week of Advent. I hope your weekend was good, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with you on today's show. You know, we're going to talk about something that when I went to Mass today, I was listening to the readings, the first reading, the Psalm and the Gospel. And I always go in thinking, what am I going to write about in my daily email reflection? Let not your heart be troubled. What am I going to talk about on the show? Sometimes they're the same thing. Sometimes they're not. But I thought that today they are going to be the same thing. And I thought this was a good message. I'm going to read the gospel from today's Mass. And what I want to discuss might seem... I was a little uncomfortable talking about it. And essentially what it is that several times throughout Jesus' public ministry, he would not answer questions. And typically that would be from people who were out to get him, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, people who were trying to nail him or trying to get him to, you know, trip himself up on his words, because they were looking for reasons to destroy him. I mean, really is what they were doing, because he was getting in the way and he was threatening some of their power, and they just didn't buy the fact that he was the Messiah. They were closed-minded a lot of times. And when Jesus would be able to perceive this kind of these kind of questions, they weren't real questions. They were used so he would say something and they could set him up. Is what would happen when he would perceive this. He would oftentimes not answer the question, and that kind of thing happened in today's gospel. And I thought, well, this is really interesting, because sometimes in our lives, right, even though we're not out to get Jesus, we're trying to follow him. We might be trying to figure out what he wants us to do in a certain situation, or which way he wants us to move in our lives. A lot of times we have unanswered questions too, or we're going through suffering. We don't know why it's not getting any better, or we're praying. You know, how about this? You're praying to him, as Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace, his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will be yours in Christ Jesus. So you pray like that, right? And you're not peaceful. And then you begin to think, well, what am I doing wrong? Lord, why aren't you giving me your peace? Did you ever get that way? So you're asking him a question. Why is this happening, Lord? Why are you putting me through this? I don't get this. And sometimes he doesn't answer you. And I know it drives us crazy, doesn't it? Because there are times that he wants you to trust him. He gives you what you need to know. Like you look at the case of the Blessed Mother. And Mary asked Gabriel a question. You're going to hear that gospel this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? How can I conceive a child? I'm a virgin. How's it going to happen? And the angel said, it's going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not a lot of details, just the bare minimum, what she needed to know. And you know, amazingly, and this says something about Mary's faith, it was good enough for her. It was good enough for her. Even without the details, the bulk of the details filled in, Mary was able to say, behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm his servant. Be it done unto me according to your word. Whatever you said, angel, God's message, God wants me to do this, I trust him. See, that's faith. That's an act of faith. Mary didn't have all the answers, but she was able to step out in faith. She was able to say, yeah, because I trust God. So there's going to be times when we ask why. I'm not a big believer in the question why. I mean, why? I think how is a better question to God. I mean, there's times when, yes, we can ask why, but a lot of times he doesn't answer that question because he wants us to trust. If you knew all of the answers, if you had all the answers, if you knew all the details up front, there wouldn't be any faith required. So sometimes he is not going to answer your questions. Not because you're asking them in a way that's not genuine, but it's because you don't need to know the answers. And so how do we deal with that? How do we move forward and not get our questions answered? I think that's what I wanted to talk about on the show today, because that's a big source of difficulty for many people. I thought Jesus was supposed to be so good. Why isn't he answering my question? And I'm just saying, Jesus, why are you doing this to me? Why wouldn't he answer that question, you know? Or why are you doing this and I don't get an answer? So, Jesus doesn't always answer every question we ask him. He gives us what we need to know. And then he says, will you trust me? I don't like it, right? I don't like it. I need it. I like answers. But the more I walk with him, and the more I learn to trust him, and the more I see him in action, and the better I get to know him, the more I realize his love for me, the more easy it is for me to feel that trust. You know, I can say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm scared, but I'm going to choose to trust you. I can say that. That's a conscious decision. It's not a trust isn't a feeling. Trust is a decision. But that feeling of trust, which is something that I can't control my feelings. That feeling of trust comes with a greater awareness of his presence and a greater knowledge of just how good he is and how powerful he is. And the more that happens, the more you have that knowledge of his love for you and his power, the less fear you're going to feel in your life. And that feeling of confidence increases. But that only comes about through our trusting him. You know, trusting him, stepping out in faith, like the Blessed Mother did. Moving forward when we don't have all the answers. Are you willing to do that? Well, that's a great thing to work on during this Advent season. But look, I talk too much. Let's pray and then we'll get back to this. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to keep me in line here and make sure that I deliver the message that I'm supposed to deliver. So I'd ask you to join me in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we get to spend with you. Father, I give you thanks for your power. I give you thanks for your presence everywhere at one time. I praise you, Father, for all that you have done and all that you are. You're Almighty God, Master of the universe. Father, I thank you for providing for all of my needs from the time I was first conceived right up until the present. I thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, our Savior, into the world. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Father, to pour out your Spirit on us today. Please give me the message that you would like me to deliver. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be responsive to your message. Father God, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you very much for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. We're in the third week of Advent, and we're getting ready for Jesus. I hope your Advent is going well. And one of the things I want to assure you of is the fact that if you don't feel like you've accomplished a lot during Advent, you've still got this week, which is the third week of Advent, and the fourth week. So you pretty much got half of Advent left. It's not too late. It's never too late. Once you decide that you want to get closer to Jesus, and Advent is the time that we're really called to do that, where we can really focus on that. Once you make that decision and you put some time in each day, you're going to be rewarded. And even if you've waited until it was late in the season, you're still going to get something out of it. So don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Don't beat yourself up about the past, about time you may have wasted. We've all wasted time. But that time, you can't get that time back. But you don't want to dwell on the time that you wasted, because what does that do? That takes time away from the presence, from the present. And the whole cycle repeats itself. And then you start to waste more time. Focus on today. Do the best job you can. Spend a little time. Wake up early. Go to bed late. Close the door in your office during the day at some point. Read a little scripture. You might want to do the daily mass readings. I do some of them on the show. I don't do all of them. You know? Let the Lord speak to you through His Word. And also spend some time with Him in prayer. Talk to Him. Express your desire. You want to get closer to Him. You want to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus. Now let Him know. Tell Him you want to decrease so that He can increase. You want to make room for Him. You know, and maybe you're not sure how you do that. I said at the beginning of Advent, let's depend on the Holy Spirit. Let's let the Holy Spirit help us with that. But it all starts with spending time with Him. If you begin to spend time with Jesus, it will pay off. And if you do that during the Advent season, by the time Christmas rolls around, you're going to be closer to Him than when you started Advent. Mark my words. And if you're not close enough, let it go. Right? Remember I said that at the beginning of Advent? We can't force this. We shouldn't force it. Let's let the Holy Spirit do some work in us. And what's going to happen gradually is you will start to feel your desires changing. You'll start to feel, this is at least what I've experienced. You'll start to get a feeling of, I should be a better person. I should care more about these other people. And then you find yourself saying to Jesus, Jesus, use me. Use me as your instrument. And that desire, when you start to feel that way, because I never used to think that way, believe me, I never used to think that way. That desire is coming from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's changing you. So start today. If you're not happy with your Advent progress, start today. We'll start over. We can absolutely still have the best Advent we have ever experienced, even if we start today. And if you do that, if you spend time with the Lord, if you express that desire to grow close to Him, it's going to happen. If you have any doubts, any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. While you're at it, why don't you check out my website, followingthetruth.com, and you can find out more about my work or sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. We've been doing an Advent theme throughout the Advent season. Doesn't cost you anything. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and supply your email address. That's it. And then you get these emails from me every day. I don't spam you. I don't send you any more than one email per day. But it's just it's a Bible verse and a brief reflection, and it's designed to put you in closer contact with Christ and to bring you peace. That's why I do them. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that. Just click on the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled button, and then you'll be able to sign up by providing your email address. Okay, so I mentioned that I wanted to look at the gospel from today's Mass. And again, this is a case of somebody giving Jesus a hard time, of appearing to ask a question, but ultimately he didn't feel that it was worthy of an answer. And he was not afraid to do this. And he would do this from time to time. So let's read the gospel, and then we'll talk about how it applies to you and me. This is Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 27. When Jesus had come into the temple area, the chief priests and the elders of the people approached him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them in reply, "I shall ask you one question, and if you answer it for me, then I shall tell you by what authority I do these things. Where was John's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves, and they said, "If we say of heavenly origin, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." So they said to Jesus in reply, "We do not know." He himself said to them, "Neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things." And see, this is another example of Jesus not answering a question. When he's being set up, when the questions aren't sincere, he's not going to answer them. So, and you know, I told you at the start, I was a little uncomfortable talking about this today because I didn't want to offend you. It sounds a little offensive, doesn't it? Well, Jesus is not going to answer your question because he thinks it's a dumb question. Now, I am not saying that. But what I'm saying is that there are times when Jesus will not answer your question. Sometimes he just doesn't feel the need to answer your question and my question. And primarily, those times are the times when he wants us to trust him more. Because when you don't have all the answers, then it's necessary for you to step out in faith and trust him. Step out in faith and trust him because you don't have all the answers. Once you do have all the answers, then there's no need for faith. See, that's why in heaven, when we get to heaven, there is no need for faith because we know everything. We're not proceeding in engulfed in mystery, which is what happens in this life. You know, through faith, we have the capacity to believe that what God has revealed to us is true, but we still have to step out in faith like Mary did when the angel appeared to her and asked her to be the mother of the Messiah. Well, she knew that it was going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. She didn't know the details, but she still, at that point, she got her question answered. How can this be? I'm a virgin. It's going to come about by the Holy Spirit, the angel said. Okay, Mary said, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." I just want you to not get offended at God or frustrated with his lack of an answer, because there will be times when you ask him a question and you don't get an answer. Now, personally speaking, I don't love the why question. I don't like to question God with the word why. I prefer to say what. What do you want me to do in this situation? maybe how. How can I best serve you? But why, when we say why, and you know, this is just the way I feel. You might feel differently. I'm not sure I always felt this way, but I feel this way now. When God puts me through something, when he has me going through a difficult period, I don't like to say, why are you doing this to me? Because I know that he loves me. And again, I don't always feel it, but I know it by faith. And I know that he's all powerful. Therefore, if something happens in my life and it just happens to be unpleasant, I know by faith in my intellect that somehow what he's putting me through can benefit me, or he wouldn't allow it to happen. So I don't feel the need to say why. I have asked him how. How do you want me to respond? Or what? What would you like me to do for you, Lord, in this situation? How can I best serve you right now? What are you trying to teach me? I mean, I think these are much more valid questions than why. Why, Lord? Why? Why are you making me suffer? Well, let's look at Jesus. I'm called to be the image of Christ. That's my job on this earth. I'm called to be Christ. And I know it's a very difficult undertaking. I almost said impossible, but it's not impossible. You know, I may never equal Christ with his perfect desire to do the Father's will, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can get closer each day to that ideal, right? So I am created to be as Christ-like as possible with the help of the Holy Spirit, and to be like Christ is to love the Father and love other people, and that's my goal. And let Jesus lead me to the Father. And that's in Jesus. I love the Father and love those around me. And then essentially I'm Christ-like. So the question of why, when it comes to my suffering, if I really care to be united to Christ, and I am as part of the church, I'm a member of the church, I'm part of the mystical body of Christ. So my goal, whether in Advent or throughout the year, is to become closer to Christ, to be more like Christ, to be more united with Christ. Look at his suffering. Obviously, I am going to have suffering in my life. Now, for me, suffering might be a stomach ache or a traffic jam. It's not going to be crucifixion, having nails driven through my hands and my feet. But your cross might be difficult. You might have a very serious disease. You might have lost a spouse. You might have lost your job. All of our crosses are different. But the why question, I mean, it can be answered by your job is to become Christ, to follow him as closely as possible, to let him transform you. He suffered. So therefore, you're going to have suffering, you know? So that's really the why question. It's answered. But the how and the what, that brings my involvement into it. Like, all right, Lord, I don't like this situation, but you got me here. So what can I do? How can I serve you in this mess? And I have found that there are times, actually frequently times, when I have said, why are you doing this to me? What's the point of this? And I don't really get an answer. I don't really get an answer. And that could be Jesus saying, I just need you to trust me. You know, I can ask him what he wants me to do today in the midst of difficulties, without knowing the complete answer to why he has me in this situation. Kind of like Mary. Just tell me the next step. You know, and I think that's a very healthy question to ask. So don't be upset when Jesus, doesn't answer your why question, or he doesn't answer a lot of your questions. Sometimes he will. You can ask him if you want, but I don't want you to get upset when he doesn't. If you don't get an answer, if it doesn't make sense to you, what you can fall back on is, I know he loves me. I know this can be, this is for my good. You know, now it doesn't have to be, because in order for something to be good for me, I have to respond in the way I'm supposed to respond. I mean, if I reject the cross that I'm carrying and say, forget it, I'm not going to embrace this cross. I'm not going to accept this in my mind. Well, then it's not going to bear the fruit that it would bear if I cooperated. Throughout this COVID pandemic, I've shared with you that my wife has struggled with anxiety. There have been times when I was very concerned, very anxious. The process was difficult. Didn't seem to be getting better, even after we were praying for Eileen's healing. And what I'm seeing is that the healing is occurring. It's occurring in stages. But there were times when I was really frustrated, and I did ask the why question, and I didn't get an adequate answer. All I got was, I love you and I trust, and I want you to trust me. And I was okay with that. I didn't love it. It didn't make me feel all warm and fuzzy, but I accepted it. And I was able to move to the next level because of that. So I guess what I'm telling you is, sometimes Jesus will not answer your questions, and he wants you to trust him. Give it a shot. Say, Jesus, I trust you. My stomach's queasy. My knees are knocking, but I'm going to choose to trust you, Lord. And the more you do that, what happens is your faith increases, right? That's how your faith grows, by stepping out and by performing these acts of faith. And then as a result, your fear decreases and your feeling of trust increases. But it all begins with you making that conscious choice to trust, even if all of your questions aren't answered. Give that a try and see what happens. And be patient. Sometimes it takes time. Hey, I really got to run. Thanks so much for being with me today. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. Any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Don't forget to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. Have a great day. God bless you. Talk to you next time.